Well, this might be it, so I think we'll go ahead and get started. Let's pray. Father, I God, we thank you for this Lord's Day that you give us today, that we can gather together and just to open your word and discover the truth that you contain therein, that for your glory and for our good. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, hopefully, I don't know how this is going to work. I told Pam, I said, you know, I've never done anything like this, so it could fall flat on his face, but we'll try it for a few weeks, although there'll be a big gap in between. The song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, was written by Robert Robinson, and he's an Englishman, lived from 1735 to 1790. Now, some of you may know this song, and or at least the tune, is Nettleton. In fact, Pam's band, when they would play this, they called it Nettleton. And when I first heard that, I thought, oh, no, that's Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. But he was the, and what's interesting, the sources I was using, there is some variation in some of the information I'm giving you, so I'll try to sort it out as best as possible. But the tune is written by John White Nettleton. And but back to Robert Robinson, the Englishman, he apprenticed in London at a hairdressing school. So he started out as a hairdresser and actually became a barber at the age of 14. And so, but as a teen, according to one of my sources, and there's some variation here, as a teen he went to hear George Whitfield.
Yeah.
And he went not to learn from Whitfield, not to learn the gospel truth, but to ridicule George Whitfield. And that was in 1755. Now, I don't know how many of you know anything about George Whitfield, but he was, of course, older than Robinson. But he preached in the British Isles, and he came to the Americas seven different times. Now, that may not seem a lot. I mean, I don't even like flying, particularly because of the airports. But I know when I read a biography by Dalimore on Whitfield, his first trip over took 4 months on board ship. And in fact, before they even got out to sea, he had to wait for 2 weeks in the harbor to get right sailing conditions. And I complain when I'm held up at the airport for a while. But so he went to hear George Whitfield. Of course, Whitfield was a contemporary of John and Charles Wesley, the brothers, also of Benjamin Franklin. They were actually friends, although Franklin never came to faith. In fact, so anyway, that's who Robert Robinson went to hear at an early age. In fact, he was only probably about age 20 when he went to hear Whitfield. Because he was converted. He was actually converted listening to Whitfield, and he wrote this hymn 2 years later, 1757. As far as where he went from there, as far as I can trace, he started out as he was a scholar. In fact, he was convinced against infant baptism, and so doing that made him a good Baptist. So he started out as at least a Baptist. Then he went to a Calvinistic Methodist. From there, he went from a Congregationalist. And some sources say he became, unfortunately, a Unitarian. And so, in fact, here's one source. Let me just read it to you. I couldn't back it up with a second source. Apparently, as wonderful as this hymn was, he may have, and I say may, he may have strayed away from the faith late in life. He was on a stagecoach in England, and they were riding, and there was a woman sitting next to him who was reading a hymnal book. And she was so impressed with this one particular hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And she was saying how wonderful that hymn was. And his response to her was, unbeknownst to her that he was the writer of that hymn, he said, Madam, I am the unhappy man who wrote that hymn many years ago, and I would give 1,000 worlds to enjoy that feeling I have then. Again, I can't substantiate that, but that's one source that I had. But so he went through quite a journey, theological journey, from a Baptist to a Calvinist, Methodist to a Congregationalist, and maybe, and I put that question mark, a Unitarian. And so, but nonetheless, it's a wonderful hymn. It's one of my favorite hymns. In fact, when my dad died at the funeral, I had him play that particular hymn. I'm not so sure that was his favorite, but it's one of my favorites, so he got it regardless. So, the theme. What did you discover was the theme of Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing? What image was used? And if you didn't do your homework, it'll make this class much more difficult. I know 2 weeks have passed and not a good explanation was given, but we'll muddle our way through it this week. What theme or what images do you get when you look through this? Does everybody have a copy of the hymn? Anybody not have a copy? I got extra ones.
I know.
You don't?
Okay.
Let me see how many I got. Pam printed them off for me. You need one, Jack?
Yes.
The one thing I like about these old hymns is they're not only the beauty of the tune, but the words themselves are theologically rich. And they're theologically, they have depth to them, they have gravitas to them. That's why I like the Trinity hymnal that we have. And I am not a big fan of some of the newer ones. I know there's exceptions. Of course, we have, Dr. R.C. Sproul's written some. But I will give you some encouragement. When I was 2 weeks ago, when I was down in California at the Shepherd's Conference, they use a hymnal there at Dr. MacArthur's church called Hymns of Grace. And I recommend it highly. It's a combination of some of the great old traditional hymns that are rich theologically, but there are some wonderful writers out there now that are putting out equally good stuff, which surprised me. It just shows you the cocoon I've been living in. And so it was quite nice. But it's called Hymns of Grace. In fact, what was nice about this particular conference, just to stray a little bit on a rabbit trail, there was a... started out at 4,500 men, 1,100 volunteers from the church. Before it was over, because what Dr. MacArthur called the underground church showed up after the conference started, people still wanted to get in even though they hadn't registered. So between the attendees and the volunteers, there's over 6,000 people on campus there. And in order to hear these hymns sung with 4,500 voices, it was impressive. You almost think you'd already died and gone to heaven when you get that. Even with my poor voice, luckily I was drowned out by all these other voices. 67 countries represented, all 50 states. Pretty impressive. But Hymns of Grace, if you ever want to look into it, if you're into music and stuff, I would recommend it. So, but again, theologically rich, just like I think this hymn was. But what image, when you read through this, when you read through the Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, what theme pops up? I'm going to ask this question later.
It's like a song.
It is like a song, isn't it?
Yeah.
What theme? And is there more than one? Brenda?
There's redemption, but there's a lot of preservation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I went through that, and I tried to attach... this is my little worksheet. I scribbled all over it. I have to agree with that. But we're going to come back to that as far as the theme and the general image you get as we look through this. So let's look at the first phrase in Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Let me get my paperwork here so I can get it. First line, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
What?
Do what?
The fount is Christ.
The fount is Christ. What verses would you go to if Christ is the fount, Brendan?
Ephesians 1:3.
Let's look at Ephesians 1:3. And what we have to realize as we look at these, there's more than one possibility. So Ephesians 1:3. And Brenda, would you read that?
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good, I didn't get that. I'm going to put that down. Ephesians 1:3. I know I used Ephesians on something. Maybe I used it elsewhere. How about anybody else? Somebody else get something else?
What?
Anybody get anything else? I went to the Gospel of John. Let's look at a couple of them. John 4. And of course, 7 through 14. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but this is the woman at the well, the woman from Samaria. But I want you to focus more on go down to verse 13. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks the water of this will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again." Again, a fount, that a source of water or something. And while you're there, turn over to John 7 and verses 37 and 38. On that day, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." So all of those are good. Ephesians, I think, is a wonderful one in that. Let's go on to the next line in this "Come Thou Fount." "Tune my heart to sing thy grace." Anybody get anything on that? Now, you don't have to have something for every phrase in here. I didn't, but you might, and I don't want to pass you up if you have something for that.
Well, I saw Ezekiel 36:26. Take out the heart of stone, give the heart of flesh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel 36.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just went down in Ephesians a little bit. Ephesians 6, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the Lord.
Read that again one more time. I was trying to write the same thing.
To the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. It is a hymn of sovereign grace, any way that you look at it. Streams of mercy never ceasing. Streams of mercy never ceasing. This one I thought about, one that most of us had memorized, the 23rd Psalms. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I just think it's amazing when these hymn writers put this. They don't have, even though they have one theme, maybe two themes, but where they're drawing from. These were, Robert Robinson was a biblical scholar, and it's amazing at age 22 when he wrote this. He's converted at age 20. He could draw from all aspects to all this theologically rich scripture that we have and bring it together into this. I think it's just absolutely amazing.
I have Revelation 21.
On Streams of Mercy?
Six, yes. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Revelation, what was that?
21:6.
Anybody have anything else? Here's one that you might want to stay in Revelation. "Sung by flaming tongues above." What image do you get? Without figuring out a scripture, what image do you get? "Sung by flaming tongues above."
Angels.
Yeah, that's what I thought, angels. Where would you go for that? This should be easy.
There's a couple of variations.
Yeah, Revelation. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody have something different besides Revelation?
I went to Job 38:7.
Read that to us, please.
It's when Job is saying, "Who were you? Where were you? This happened. Where were you? And that happened. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy."
Ooh, that's good. Job what? I'm sorry.
38:7.
38:7. Go to Revelation 15. There's a couple of them. Revelation 15, Revelation 9, and 19. But for Revelation 15 also. And verse 2 through 4.
Did you say Revelation 15?
I think so, yeah.
Yes.
And again, it's the song of the Lamb saying, "Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God Almighty." And it goes on, but you can also look at Revelation. I use Revelation 19, 4 and 5. Again, sung by flaming tongues above. Let's go on down. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it. Anybody have anything on that? The mount of God's unchanging love. We put those two together. Anybody come up with a verse for that?
Depends on which mountain you decide it is. Seriously. Because if it's Golgotha, then it's representing the crucifixion. But it could also be Mount Moriah, which then ended up, I think, being the Temple Mount. Isn't that where,
okay,
where Abraham
so what did you settle on?
I put both.
Oh, did you? That's good. My mind didn't even go that direction. I like that. I went to Jeremiah 31:3. If you want to turn to it, you can. I'll read it to you. The Lord appeared to him from afar and said, "I love you, everlasting love." I know that's not unchanging love, but it's close. I love you with an everlasting love. But I like the mounts. I've never thought about even two different mountains. But look at the let's stop there a second. Let's attach some of the theological language, the rich doctrinal language, the teachings we have here. Come thou fount of every blessing. Talks about God's goodness, His grace, and His love. Streams of mercy never ceasing. God's mercy.
Infinity.
And that's right. That's right. Because of never ceasing. His unchanging love.
His immutability.
Yeah, it's His immutability. Aren't we glad? Aren't we glad He's not like us and being fickle? Okay, here's one everybody should have gotten. Everyone should have gotten. And the second stanza here, "I raise my Ebenezer." And please don't tell me Ebenezer is Ebenezer Scrooge, or I will hang my head and walk out the door.
But I also didn't do my homework.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, let's go to the proper verse. What verse is that appropriate for? "Here I raise my Ebenezer." And here, there really should not be any difference of opinion. We only have one place to go to, and that is? That is?
1 Samuel 7:12.
Thank you. Go to 1 Samuel 7:12.
No, not the crucifixion.
No. And for context, somebody read 7 through 12, and that way it will make a little more sense. 1 Samuel 7, and if somebody will read verses 7 through 12, back up just a little bit so we understand Ebenezer. Who would like to volunteer?
"Now when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the Lord of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, 'Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines.' So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord of Israel for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion. And they were routed before Israel. And the minute Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called it its name Ebenezer, for he said, 'Tis now the Lord has helped us.'"
Okay, so here's where we get Ebenezer from. So the question now is, what is Ebenezer? here I raise my Ebenezer.
It's like a duck.
No, no.
No.
Although I sure like ducks. They have ducks at Wilco right now.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
A stone of health is what my dad said.
Exactly. It's a stone of health. And they would often set up little monuments like that as a way of remembrance. Now, we may not set up stones like that, but we do things similar to that. We have the Lord's Supper every month to remember God's faithfulness to us. But stone of health, signifying the health that God has, that has been granted to us by God. So, good one. Let's go to the next verse. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Anybody get a verse for that?
Oh, I did 1 Corinthians 3:20-21, that our citizenship is in heaven.
Yeah.
Now, we're awaiting a Savior.
Say that one again, please.
Philippians 3:20-21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we await a Savior who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory.
That's a good one. Safely to what theological doctrine or teaching do we have here?
Preservation.
Eternal security. Same difference. Try John 10:28-29. John 10, verses 28 and 29. Hello, Katie. Would it be unfair to ask Katie what Ebenezer is?
Oh, I wrote it down.
Nothing like putting her on the spot. She walks in innocent as a lamb, and then we just throw her to the slaughter.
Ebenezer was from 1 Samuel 7.
Very good.
It was a memorial.
She did her work, didn't she? Okay. Katie, we are on...
Don't ask any more questions.
Okay. You got an A, you know, walk away. You need to know when to walk away. By thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Alan did Philippians 3, 20. What'd you do? I can't read my writing. 20 and 21?
Yeah.
John 10:28-29 is what I put down. I will give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. A lot of good verses, Brenda.
For hither by thy help I've come, I have Romans 8:26.
Okay, can you read that to us?
Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words.
That's good. Sought me when a stranger. He sought me when a stranger. Before we look up a verse, what doctrine do we have here? What teaching do we have here? He sought me when a stranger.
I have substitutionary it's really prior to that. So
if you were for a stranger wandering in the
Anybody else? Okay.
There's
all sorts of shades there, isn't there? All sorts of shades. It kind of goes from one to the other. Grace. I have sovereign election. He sought us first. What verses, though, do you have attached to He sought me when a stranger? I actually have a bunch.
With His reading of His blood.
Uh-huh.
I don't have a verse, but I think of Paul.
That looks like a song, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Acts chapter 9.
Yeah.
Paul is persecuting the church. Couldn't be much more of a stranger to God when you're persecuting His church. And the Lord sought Paul out first. Yeah.
Romans 5:10.
Ooh, we're close. I had Romans 5:8. Read that, Brenda.
Both of them?
Sure.
I was starting at 7. Woman will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And then 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life.
Okay, very good. I got an Old Testament passage. Let's see if it works. If you go to Ezekiel 34. Hopefully, as you go through these encourage you to start writing hymns for yourself. You know, and then you can get them published. I used to think that was far-fetched, but after seeing this Hymns of Grace book, I'm thinking, well, why not? It'd be nice if you could read music to it, I guess.
Just have Katie do the music portion of the book.
That's right, that's right. I guess sometimes it's the harder of the two. Psalms 34, 11 and 12.
So Ezekiel or something?
That's Ezekiel 34, 11 and 12. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I myself will search out for my, I will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep, that they have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. Again, you get this image or this picture, Old Testament picture of God seeking out his sheep, the good shepherd seeking out his sheep. And then in the language of the Romans that Brendan's just read, we get the same thing. But interposed his precious blood. First of all, what does interposed use? You probably don't use it in your everyday language, but what does interposed use?
The precious blood?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That pours out?
Yep, that's it.
To get between.
To get between. Okay. So, knowing that, what scripture would you go to? And there's more than one you could go to. And what doctrinal, what teaching do we have here? A biblical teaching.
Not the crown of thorns.
No?
No.
Interposed his precious blood. Let's do the teaching part, the doctrinal part. What did you put down there? Interposed his precious blood. Yeah, substitutionary atonement. And what is amazing to me, and of course, we kind of live in different little theological communities. I've always been taught that. I've always believed that. I still believe that. It is amazing in the church at large, and I use the church in parentheses, in many areas, and maybe getting to be the majority of your poor, substitutionary atonement is being denied completely by people and by denominations that claim to be Christian. It's a scary thought. They talked about that at the Shepherd's Conference. But it is farther widespread than what you think. So, what verses do you have for interposed his precious blood? I've got a couple. Brendan?
Colossians 1:20.
Okay. Someday, Brendan and I will be on the same page. We're close. Okay, go. Can you read that? She's so fast on that little computer there she's got. I can't match her. Go ahead.
And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross.
Ooh, that's good. Making peace, interposed. Anybody have another one?
Well, 1 Peter 1:19 actually says precious blood. We've been redeemed not with perishable things like silver and gold from our futile manner of life received from our forefathers, but with precious blood of the Lamb unblemished and spotless,
okay,
of Christ.
Good one. I've got a few. I've got three. I don't want to have you give three. Go to Romans 3, 24 and 25.
When you first asked what doctrine it falls under, I first thought of Christ being the mediator. Is that different, or is there some relation between that? Be the mediator between us and God.
Yeah, there'd be similar. There'd be a connection there. Yeah, you could use
but
that.
But am I off by saying that? Is interposed and mediating different?
No. There's a, I think, a distinction can be made, but no, they'd fall in the same camp. Romans 3, 24 and 25. We are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. The propitiation where God's righteous indignation and wrath has been turned away. Go to Colossians 1:20. I did this one this morning, I think. And let's see if this one works. And through Him, that of course that's being Christ, through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Very similar to what we've already heard there. Start of the third stanza. Owe to grace how great a debtor. Owe to grace how great a debtor. What verses did you find for that? I found this one not a little more difficult, but I had to work a little harder on this one. Do you have a passage for that one, a verse for that one?
Romans 8, 12 and 13.
Ooh, okay. Hey, we're on the same line.
You get that one?
Yeah. No. Read that, please.
So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
Good. We're on the same page.
What was that, Romans 8, what?
12 and 13.
Go to Colossians 2, 13 and 14. See if that works also.
Say the verses again.
Colossians 2, 13 and 14. I hope. Because I'm in Colossians 3, that's why I wasn't looking good.
And you who were dead in your trespasses and uncircumcised in your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with His legal demands.
Yeah. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Theological term you'd apply to that? What would you use? Come up with anything? I put down original sin. How great a debtor. You know, we're born into sin. And we continue in that. I also put down grace. Anybody have something different? Let's go to the next one. Bind my wandering heart to Thee. Bind my wandering heart to the particular verse.
I had one for the phrase above, let that grace know life is better.
Okay, go.
Romans 6, 18 and 19.
Okay, if you'd read that.
And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now, present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification.
Give me that passage again. Romans 1.
Romans 6, 18 and 19.
Can I ask what a fetter is?
Yeah. I got to find it. Isn't that tack on a horse a fetter?
I think it's like cuffs and chains.
Oh, is it?
It's something that binds you.
Okay.
Like a slave, like a Shackle?
Look it up. Yeah. Brenda's got her computer. She is so fast on this.
I have somewhere after I have a dictionary.
A chain of chain or manacle used to restrain a prisoner.
Okay.
There you
go. Okay.
Or to
well, that makes sense now that, yeah.
Okay. So grace, have grace been chained to you?
Yeah. Go to Psalms 121. That's what I put down.
What was that again?
Psalms 121, 3 through 8. I knew I had to get Psalms in here eventually. So
up above, when it says calls for songs of loud praise, I had Psalm 100.
Oh, the old 100th.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And you remember who's on whose deathbed that was sung? Stonewall Jackson.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. That's just good. All that trivia you told me over the years.
All that worthless trivia. Yeah. 3-8. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming from this time forth forevermore. That's the one I got. What theological terminology would you place to that? Bind my wandering heart to thee.
Restoration of the saints.
Yeah, well, good. That's what I put. Sure it is, right. Whenever two or three are gathered together, you know, in agreement. Anybody have something else there?
You could also, along with that, throw in sanctification.
Yeah.
That if your heart is being bound to God, you can let Him.
Yeah. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to wander. Unfortunately, John Robinson, if that's correct, he did wander. It's kind of like to go back to Revelation in that book by Henderson, More Than Conquerors, that those who conquer, those who persevere to the end. It's a very encouragement there. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it.
What did you mean by constitutional nature of man?
Well, I will tell you now that man by nature is fallen.
And that's what I put there.
Okay. Oh, good. More agreement.
If that's what it means.
Yeah. What verse did you get for that? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it.
Isaiah 53:6.
Go for it.
All we led sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Anybody else has something different?
Well, Psalm 119, verse 67 says, Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word.
I went to Paul, Romans 7, verses 21 to 25. You want to look that one up? Prone to wander. Somebody want to read that one? 21-25, Romans 7.
I find that a law, the evil that is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
Yeah, I think Paul had that proneness to wander there. I think he struggled with that. What's good at this particular stanza, this particular hymn, doesn't leave us there. It finishes up with, here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above. Good for that one. Any portion of that one. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above. What doctrinal statement, teaching do we have here? What biblical teaching do we have here? Now, this one should be somewhat familiar. Think of how in the book of Revelation, the saints are sealed. Although I didn't use anything in Revelation for that particular verse. Anybody?
For the doctrine?
Either.
I had Ephesians 1:13.
Okay, read it.
In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit.
Ooh, I like that. Since you're so fast on that, go to 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. You can do it faster than I can turn pages.
And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee.
Okay. I put down eternal security that we're sealed.
Well, now that we're talking that way, it reminds me of our names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Where is that? That's in
Revelation 13.
Yeah. Revelation 13. So let me go back to the original question. What image or theme do we have as a whole of this beautiful hymn? Anybody? What's the theme? I think there's a couple themes. One, the image of Christ as the giver of living water. But I think even more dominant theme is the good shepherd that's gathering his sheep back into the fold. I think you get that picture. And if you had to pick one verse that sums up, one passage that sums up the entire hymn, what would you use? I know that wasn't one of the questions. This one was easy for me, though. This one was easy. When you think about the theme, if the theme is the shepherd gathering his sheep back into the fold, first of all, he sought them out, and he gathers them out when they tend to wander on him. If you've ever been around sheep, they will tend to do that.
Makes me, when you say it that way, it makes me think of Psalm 23.
That's what I put down. I said, I guess I was, the Lord is my shepherd.
The good shepherd passage where Jesus is describing himself, saying that the sheep know him and they'll follow him, they'll yeah. follow a stranger.
Where is that?
John?
It's in John.
Yes.
John 8 or John 7?
Maybe it's 10.
Yep.
John 10. Yeah, I think either one would work. The 23rd Psalms or in John 10. Most of you know the 23rd Psalm, so we won't read that one, but can you read, somebody read John 10? Somebody find it?
Yeah, but where do you want to start?
I don't know.
The whole thing?
I don't know. No.
If you start in verse 11, it starts, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives life for his sheep, but the hireling, he who is not a shepherd, one who does not own his sheep, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The other sheep I have not, which are not of this fold. Therefore I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This is the command I received from my Father.
Yeah. Jesus is the good shepherd. So that works. 23rd Psalms works. Isn't this amazing? 22-year-old recent convert wrote this particular hymn. And think how rich it is in biblical teaching in the image we have of God, of Jesus Christ in particular being our good shepherd. I think it's amazing, 22-year-old kid writing this. I say kid. You know, people 40 now look like kids to me. You know. So, yeah. So, well, somebody that can lead out, because I can't.
Okay.
You want to play?
Yeah, but if it sounds bad, we're going to sing on cappella.
It shouldn't. We got it.
There should be a hymn.
Let's do it. Oh, wait. No, everybody's got. Everybody's got this. Right?
Oh, no, I mean for.
Just let me find the right key.
Oh, okay.
We all might be singing soprano.
Well, I've never sung the right key in my life, so I don't know. This would be a first for me. .457 maybe?
Okay,
is that right?
Yes.
Ooh, how about that? Every now and then, blind hog finds an acorn, doesn't he? Hey, y'all have to sing out, don't look to me for it. Like a DJ on the radio. This is request time. Anybody have a request?
I don't.
Okay. Anybody? This is your opportunity.
Amazing Love.
Amazing Love. Okay, we'll do it. That's what we'll do. I don't have the I'm not prepared to hand out anything. I will get something. I don't know how we'll do that. But most of you have access.
We can send something to Katie. She can print it out.
Yeah, she can print it out. And same thing. Keep that one little piece of paper for kind of doctrinal clues, is that what I call it, that sometimes helps. And then go through that and just see. You're almost trying to recreate what was in the mind of these hymn writers. I think it's fascinating. And again, you're never too old or too young to maybe write that. It starts out maybe as a poem. But then let somebody put it to music.
I can make copies of this. I can bring
and I've got a few more of those. Anybody need this little